Welcome to Spiritual Changemakers, the podcast that guides you through tough times with practical tools and inspiring stories. I'm Andrea Thomas, your host and the Sacred Transitions Coach. Join us as we hear from spiritual changemakers who have connected with their higher power and overcame adversity. Whether you are navigating a difficult transition or seeking to deepen your spiritual practice, our podcast provides guidance to help you find magic in the change. Come on this journey of self-discovery, empowerment, and transformation with us and unlock your potential to become your best self. Souls, and welcome to an episode on Spiritual Changemakers. I'm Andrea, and I am your host. I'm a sacred transitions coach, and I love helping people move through major changes in their life. And today, we are going to talk about spiritual awakening with Leona Divina. Not sure if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, but I hope so. And we're going to talk all about it, like what are the symptoms, what you should do when you go through a spiritual awakening. And if you are going or if you have been going, maybe you're not even aware of it, because a lot of times when we are at the beginning of it, you don't even know. You just your life became upside down and you're like, what the heck is going on? What am I going to do? And on and on. So I'm super excited to have Leona today. And what is she doing? She's actually on a mission to help start seeds. If you're not familiar with that concept, go ahead and look it up. It's a very spiritual out there concept. I love it. I have a card deck actually with star seeds, so I can definitely relate to it. And she's on a mission to help souls star seeds to navigate spiritual awakening, because this is something that she has been going on through pretty recently, I would say. And not just that, but actually embrace their uniqueness and imbibe the cosmic light. Doesn't that sound amazing? So what that does, she wants to actually help them integrate and live a soul-led life. And integrate transformation and aligning with who they really are. So please help me to welcome Leona. Let me bring her on. And on. Hello. Okay, there it is. When you're doing things live, it happened, but she's coming on, so please help me to.
Yes!
Hello, beautiful soul!
Hi!
So excited to have you. How are you feeling?
Yeah, very excited. I was buzzing all morning.
Yes. I'm so happy, and I cannot wait for us to have this deep dive conversation about spiritual awakening. And before we move into today's topic, Leona, I would love to hear, what is spirituality for you? What does spirituality means for you? Yeah. And how do you use it in your day-to-day life?
Well, thank you. That's a very beautiful question. For me, spirituality is like a kind of way of living. It's kind of way of breathing. It's a lifestyle. It's no longer just meditating. It's just no longer doing breath work. It's everything. It's the way you present yourself, the way you do things, the way you move around, the way the choices you make, the people you surround yourself with. So yeah, it's like just air for me.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. It definitely is.
It sure is. It sure is. When you're in it, it's you don't really want to live any other way.
And you can't even if you would try to.
That's so true. Because you, once you have seen things from a different perspective now, and your mind and your world has opened up, you just cannot go to your old ways of being and doing things.
Yes. And I do remember then in times when we go through challenging phases and we really are challenged by life, we have like a little bit of nostalgia, maybe. I don't know if you recognize that, for wanting to go back when things seemed easier, when things seemed like more joyous and simple in life.
Yeah. And I also want to associate that with grief, because we are going like a grieving process. We are grieving our old self, our old life, because we are shedding and letting go. And I was literally just going through that yesterday. So I think it's a process. We go through like so often when we do the work.
Yeah. I can relate, because this few weeks, I don't know, I think most of us that are on a spiritual journey that are more far ahead has like this deep metamorphosis, big ego death that are going through. And I hear it all around me. It's like just those few weeks that are very challenging to us. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you okay. Can you hear me okay?
Okay,
awesome. So tell me about your spiritual awakening and what got you so passionate about talking about this and wanting to help others through this process. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, okay. So my whole life I was in personal development. So all about willpower, mindset, all about life hacks to go through life, to make the best out of life. But mostly to go all through all my challenges, because I've been through a lot of challenges and I just couldn't see my way out. And every retreat I did, everything I used, it just kept me going down like a darker road, seemingly, at that moment. But that was life trying to break me open. That was like my first stage of the spiritual awakening. I was being broken open because I was resisting it a bit. And then after I started going through the spiritual awakening, I had a pretty brutal one, and it was really fast, really quick, really deep and really dark. So at that moment in time, I had nobody around me that understood me, nobody that could help me. I didn't have at that moment in time any teachers, any healers, any shamans, any nothing. So I was really thought I was going insane. I was losing my mind. And I also had really quick all kinds of mystical experiences, all kinds of dark energies, entities around me, shadow beings. So it was not as fun. So the whole bliss phase, which was one of the stages, just came way later. So in the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing. And people almost tried to lock me up. They thought you should go on like medicine or take some pills. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you have to still shrink. And that compounding with all the traumas that you go through in your life and with all the challenges. And I always had the feeling that I didn't belong. I didn't fit in, not only in my friends, but also in my own family. And also, practically, honestly, on earth, I didn't fit in. And so with that combining with when you go into your spiritual awakening and you're losing your senses, you're losing your mind, you think, like, what am I doing here? What is this all about? So in a nutshell, when I finally got on the other side, I was like, okay, this is too brutal. And I know that there are a lot of spiritual awakenings that are more softer, less dense, depending on your own journey. But I thought, I don't want to have anyone experience this on their own without any tools, without knowing what they're going through, without any acknowledgement and recognition that it is tough, that it is challenging, and it can play a trick on your mind. It can really put a lot of demand on your body. And that started a whole new journey for me when I started combining personal development with spirituality. And that got like intertwined with each other, and that just clicked.
Next level. And I also want to acknowledge each and every soul is here with us live. Hello, we see you, we hear you.
Yeah.
And I want to invite you to stay with us till the end. And if you have questions for us, we're going to answer them at the end. We have a Q&A box here, chat, that you can put your questions in, and we're going to take them in order. So if you have questions about the spiritual awakening, stay with us, ask us the questions, and at the end, we are going to answer them. And thank you, Leona, for sharing. You know, when we go through this, I also call them dark night of the souls, because they are so deep and so profound, and they're shaking your whole world. It's like, what the heck am I going to do right now? Because it requires from you to change your identity. isn't it? Because you cannot be and act the same way. So I would love to hear, because I know many people go through these spiritual awakenings, but a lot of times they're not aware of it. So what would be some of the symptoms that people can look for and recognize that, oh my God, I am going through a spiritual awakening right now?
Yeah, that would be a good one. Maybe it's fun to go through the stages, because that's also different than it was before. So I would like to start this with that the spiritual awakening these days is different than maybe before 2012, especially before 20 and 30 years ago. Because before then, the spiritual awakening could go on for decades. It could really go on for decades. With current energies, with all the shifts with the ascension of the earth, everything speeds up, not only time, not only our perception of things, but also our spiritual journey and our awakening. So everything around us, but also our own journey will be speed up. So the spiritual awakening could be just like a few years for some, even maybe even a few months. So I think that's important to acknowledge, that it can be very quick, but even though it can take a few years to go through the whole thing, the first one, the big one.
The big
also,
one.
Like the big one. Yeah, the initiation, the first one. Yeah. Yeah, because it's also good to mention that you go through your big one, the first one, the initiation, and then it doesn't mean that you're done. It's like just working out or feeding yourself, just like you've done it once. It doesn't mean that it just stops there. So the rest of your life, it's like a lifestyle. It's like your path. You will be reawakening deeper into yourself. And sometimes it's in a few months, sometimes maybe over 2 years, but you will reawaken yourself even deeper into your soul. But because you've been there before the first time, you will know better how to navigate them, and you will recognize the symptoms, you will recognize the stages we will go through in a minute, and it will be a lot easier. Even if you go deeper, it will be easier because you've been there before and you've built those muscles, you've built those resilience, you know what to do in your mind, you know what to do with your body, how to handle your emotions. So it gets easier, even though it gets tougher. I don't know if that makes sense, but
so what I'm understanding from that is that it can get easier the way you are navigating the process itself.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't mean the awakening or the challenge that you're experiencing, it's easier. You just learn how to, you have the tools, you know, and the awareness how to navigate through it more from an empowered place instead of feeling like it's taking over your whole life.
Yeah, correctly. And I remember for myself, I had some experiences where I was literally panicking because I was on this kind of verge of breaking down and my body was breaking down. But I will go into that for later. So another difference between now and before 2012, but also 20, 30 years ago, is that the stages of the spiritual awakening were following each other up. So you had one stage, then there was another stage, and there was another stage. And of course, it was a little bit of overlap, but they were following each other up. These days, they are more like layering each other. So you can bounce in between the stages. So you can go in and go back. So it's not only linear anymore. It's more like a cycle, which you can go back to and return to. And it sounds like easier on the one hand, but it can be more confusing. And people always think, oh, maybe I can skip a stage. But that's not going to happen. You have to go through the whole thing.
Yeah, so now I'm very curious to learn and to hear about those stages.
Yes. So I will give them the name, how I recognize them and how they are usually named. So I will focus on the four main stages, because there are more in between stages, but I will focus on the four main stages. So the first one is like the breaking point, the trigger, the thing that starts the thing off. So it can be for some of us, because I would like to emphasize that we are all unique beings. So our spiritual journey is also unique. So this is thing in general to be as a reminder so you can fall back on it. But it doesn't mean that everyone will go directly, exactly the same way through the whole spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. So the trigger, the breaking point, is more some of us will have like experience over a longer period of time with very massive, intense challenges that lives are breaking us down over a longer period of time because we're not paying attention, we're not listening, we're not answering the call of the soul, and we're just resisting. So it keeps getting tougher and tougher. So the challenges become bigger, and at some point you just don't can handle anymore, and then you just break down and then crack open. For some of us, it's more like one huge, massive event that happens in your life, and that can be a breaking point. It can be like a near-death experience or life-threatening situation. It can be a trauma, but it can also be an extreme heartbreak, like a divorce or maybe a loss of someone. So that is also a situation where your soul is being triggered, where everything is being triggered and everything is set in motion. And the third option is for a trigger point, a breaking point, is a heart chakra awakening. So when you're in your life, you're meant to encounter certain people and you have karmic bonds with them. You have karmic lives with them because you've been there before. You've done it in another lifetime. And the one time you are brother, sister, the other time you are like partners with each other. And some of them are here to help you grow in a challenging way. So they're not so fun to be around. And some of them are here to assist you and help you evolve in a good way. They're aligned with your soul. But the one I'm talking about the breaking point, are the karmic ones that help you break. So I had a situation where I met a man that was meant to be in my life. And I, even though I didn't have any physical, tangible relationship with him, just the fact that we encountered each other and came in each other's energy fields and we made contact and we started interacting with each other, that pulled my whole system open. So that caused the heart chakra awakening. So that stage is a bliss stage. And it is like heaven on earth, like angels singing, you know, rainbows. Everything is beautiful. Everything is lovely. It's peaceful. You just like all zoned out the whole day. Nothing can touch you. So it's amazing. But the less prone for it is that after this stage, this stage is meant for you to break. And so when you're in the bliss stage, your whole energy system are open. You have 9 energy systems, but all of those energy systems are wide open. So sadly enough, you're like an invitation for all kinds of darker energies, for shadow beings, for all karmic lines, for darker lineage, ancestral lineage. So that's what happened to me. So I was broken open through the heart chakra awakening. And that spin off out of control, and that made an encounter possible for dark energies. And then I went down into the next phase in the dark night of the soul. So that was in the first stage. So to do a quick summary, you have a long period in your life where you've been very challenged and it's getting worse and even worse until a breaking point. You can have one huge, massive impact, one challenge, one trauma, whatever in your life, that will break you instantly, like the rock is pulled from under you. Or you can have like more blissful experience at first, where you have a heart chakra awakening, where your heart is cracked open in a good way, but it will break down even harder and faster after the situation will dissolve itself. So the heartbreak is more intense when you have like a heart chakra awakening than a regular heartbreak. Mm.
Yes, and you mentioned that for you was the third one, the one where...
Yeah.
The heart opening, and for me, it was the near-death experience.
Yeah.
Which I had no idea, because you don't know when the challenge happens and when you go through that thing that, oh, this is my spiritual awakening. It would be amazing to be aware of that.
Yeah.
But it took me years to realize that, oh my God, that point, it was the point in my life that, it made me started looking inwards and searching, you know, like after that, I searched, what is my purpose here on earth? But even to get to that point, it took me at least 1 year after the near-death experience, after I had to go through all the feelings of like guilt, shame, terrible headaches, because I had an energetic upgrade, you know, and I dealt terrible headaches for a year. And I was putting it on the, oh, it's the seizure. It's because I had a seizure.
Oh.
And that's why I had the headache.
Yeah.
But I know now better, and I know, yeah, maybe that was a part of it, but another part, it was the energetic upgrade I got
at
the moment. So it's like, I want you guys to have like compassion and do not rush, you know, into like, I have to know, is it not? And trust that it is going to unfold exactly what it has to unfold. And the answers and the clarity, it's going to come. So
yeah,
that's the first stage. Amazing. So it's the breaking point, the trigger point that it can be under those three different categories that you have shared with us. And again, like, this is just like a draft, like, for you guys to have a little bit of a structure and more understanding, but it can look different for each and every one of us. So what is the second point?
Well, the second one is, like you mentioned already, it's the dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's the dark night of the ego, because you go through several ego deaths. What actually happens is everything within you, your identity and everything around you, starts crumbling down. But also, this can be on two different levels. Like, you can go through the softer dark night of the soul, where with all the old wounds coming up, with all the emotions, with all the patterns, all things that went up in your family, everything that you have to go through. That you mentioned, guilt and shame. There are a lot of emotions we can go through, and a lot of toxic patterns we have in ourselves, and therefore we attract those in our lives. So you can go through whole that roller coaster. In my case, I spun out of control energetically, because my purpose was even deeper, to walk in between worlds. And I attracted all kinds of dark energy shadow beings and worked with those kind of powers and walking the underworld. So for me, it was challenging enough to have to start losing my identity, because I didn't know what was happening. And I was questioning myself. People didn't understand me, and I have no clue what to do. And then all the emotional stuff came up. So basically, the dark night of the soul is a huge purge. Purge of emotions, purge of energies, old energies, your energies, someone else's energies, all the sexual intercourse you've had, all those energies, ancestral lineages. So it's a massive purge, also for your body. So your body starts detoxing in itself, and can be in all different ways. I will spare you the details. But it's a huge purge. So that's one. But you also get a like of purge of thoughts. So for some of the people I've known and I've encountered, they get really strange thoughts in their heads. So their mind starts to challenge them. And I know there are some people that get really depressed because they have no help and no framework, no structure of what's happening with them. But also there are people that have like the suicidal thoughts. And it can be very scary, because your mind is tricking you into doing weird stuff. And I would like to emphasize that if you're struggling with any of those thoughts, make sure to get the support you need. But have in your back in your mind that it could, also with depression, that it could be something else, that it could be a part of a spiritual awakening. But make sure that you always have the support if you think that you really need one. So that I want to make that clear. So you have the emotional purge, you have the mental purge, which your thoughts can go all nuts. And if you have the energetic purge, that was also in my case, then you are dealing with the other worlds, the other realms. So in my case, and that doesn't mean that it will happen for everyone, you can start having mystical experiences in your dark night of the soul. You can start having encounters with beings. It can be good beings, but it can also be dark beings. And that is what So the initiation is for, starting to show you that you lack of boundaries, that you need to empower yourself, that you need to start stepping up, that you need to start aligning, that you need to start embracing your light. But you don't know it at that time, because everything's happening all at once. And I think the good for those that are just entering those phases, are curious about this concept, is good to say that it's like a huge roller coaster of body, mind, and soul. Emotions, energetics, everything is upside down. You don't know where you're living, where it's front, where it's back. And it is called, not for nothing, the dark night. So it is dark all over.
Oh my God. And that takes me to when I was, after I entered to the personal development and spiritual, and I started doing healing, I think I had probably at least 1 year where I cried almost daily because there was so much trauma that needed to be released that I never released throughout my life. And I remember my partner at that time, he was telling me like, what is this work that you are doing that just makes you cry every single day? So much.
Yeah.
Sometimes I had no idea what I was crying. I was just crying. It was just the subconscious, no, the subconscious work done and the spiritual, the soul that is, you just need to release it. And sometimes you do not know why, but it just happens, and trusting that, okay, just let it come. I'm gonna feel it and release it. No. And I would love to hear a little bit like how was here your experience in this stage, in this dark night of the soul? Because you shared that, okay, you had to create boundaries because you had more of the mystical. And how have you gotten to like find that alignment within yourself and create those boundaries?
Okay, for me, and this is specifically if you are dealing with energies, entities, dark beings, shadow beings, and more of that realm, because there are all kinds of realms around us. But if you're dealing with those kinds of situation, so for me, what I noticed is that I was starting to, because I'm going through the dark night of the soul, I was going through the boundaries towards people. So I was putting up boundaries towards toxic people, even my family members, ex-partners. So I was learning to develop my self-worth and set up boundaries. But it never occurred to me that energetically you can set up boundaries also. So what happened to me in my case is every time I was attacked by a dark being or I had an experience with a dark being, logically I would contract because I was fearful. I was scared shitless because I didn't know at that time exactly what it was in front of me, what it wanted from me. Later, I learned what it was and it scared me even more. So what I would do, I was scared. And when you're scared and you're fearful, your frequency will drop. Your body will contract, your energy system will contract. So you lose your connection with universe, with source, with alignment, whatever, even if it's on subconscious level. And you're like a magnet for those beings. So I got attacked even more. But that's what I dive into research. And I was like, I need to protect myself. That's stage two. You become aware is stage one. And then stage two is you need to protect yourself. At least that's what you think you need to do. And this gives you like a peace of mind and a bit of safety because you dive into crystals, you dive into whatever is needed for yourself. Certain things in your home, I lost the word. Yeah, so everything you can do, you put in your home around you, like in a bubble, so they can touch you. And I have to emphasize, yes, they work. And yes, there are clearing rituals and clearing tools, and it's very helpful. But the way they help you also is because you start to believe that they help you.
Yeah.
So you're snapping out of... So you're snapping out of that fearful mentality, out of the victimhood, because that was one of my big themes also. And it translated into the energetic world and into the realm of energies. So you're starting belief that they work. And therefore you feel like more empowered. You feel like more confident. And you're like, well, okay, I can go to bed now and I'll be safe. Not always, but I'll be safe. So that starts because you have the willpower to research things and you want to make it happen and you want to take care of yourself. The will for self-care is growing. And then you get the tools, synchronicities will start flowing and you will get the tools in place and you'll build confidence with yourself. I'm protected, air quotes. So that will help you to nudge you the right way to start dealing with all those kind of energies and with all those kind of mystical experiences. And from there you have the last step, like in a nutshell, you realize that it's not about protecting yourself, because protecting yourself is like resisting, trying to keep everything out. And still protecting means that you are smaller, that you're vulnerable and that you can be hurt and that something can take advantage of you. And if you start believing that you don't have to use all those tools, even though they help, you will get empowerment from within. So I heard this story from a great spiritual teacher. She was asked, how do you deal with a room when it's filled with all energy and all densities and maybe even shadow being? How do you clear that room? And she answered, and I never will forget that one. She answered, I just walk in. As a light being, I just walk in the room. If you're fully in your power and you know who you are as a light being, as a light worker, and that you are a source of pure love and light, and you start believing that and training that, it won't happen overnight, then you are probably able to walk into a room, and just by your radiance and by the intention that you put out, you'll be able to clear the room.
I love that concept, and I could see it, I can visualize it, and it also takes me to the time that darkness cannot exist where the light is. So beautiful. So it's learning how to practice and believe in that, no? Because it all starts believing it and then practice it on a daily basis that you are the light and aligning and inviting that divine light within you, and shining from there, instead of from what I understood, it's like, oh, I am small and I can be attacked and I'm not that powerful, so I need to myself. So you move from that into I am the light, and when I'm shining my light, I don't need protection, because the light is pretty much your protection. No, like just being that light.
And I can imagine that it can be quite challenging if you're just in the beginning phase of this journey, especially with dealing with those kind of energies and realms. But if I translate it into more practical matters, it's also about recognizing and being aware. So I had a lot of those experiences at night. And then I would see something and I would notice something, and beforehand I would go also just like under my blankets, and no, it doesn't work, he's still here. And now I was like looking at it instead of turning around, I looked at it, and sometimes it was a shape-shifting into like before a grandmother of mine or an ex of mine, and it shape-shifted. So I was like looking at it and I'm like, you don't belong here, something's off, I didn't invite you, you're not welcome. And then it went poof, and it went away. So you can set intentions for yourself that you only allow divine intervention, that you only allow good beings, only everything that you welcome in. But you can also say, nothing is welcome without my permission. Nothing can hurt me without my permission. So you can do like affirmations that are more practical and tangible. But you can also set an intention for yourself that if it happens, you just face it. Because if you face it and you put awareness of it and you shine literally your light on it, then it will get scared and it will move away in most cases.
In most cases, yes. What I do every single morning, and I'm realizing now that maybe it's not the best way, but what I do, it's like I imagine my aura, no? I see my aura and I say that I only allow in energy that serves to my highest good into my sacred space, because that's my sacred space. So I make the intention that anything that's not serving me and it's in my highest good, that it's not allowed into my space.
I love that, yeah. And I think for some people, it's challenging and most at night, because then you lose your subconscious and you're going out, you're going to sleep. And I think that knowing the fact that you can use some tools to ground yourself, to clear the room, to set an intention, and be mindful of your emotions. I think one of the tips that I would advise is people to be mindful of their emotions, because we have to, when we're going through a spiritual awakening, the whole clue is to heal everything that comes up. Heal our emotions, to cry your eyes out, to be angry, to whatever we feel, experience it fully. So it doesn't mean that it's bad. But if you go to bed with, you go to sleep with a feeling of victimhood, and I'm fearful and I'm small, it's not working out and I'm stuck, your energy will drop, the frequency will drop. And then even though you're maybe further along in your spiritual awakening, you will still attract those dark energies because you put your guard down. So I always say, do a little bit of self-care routine, emotional hygiene, and make sure that if you go to bed, you go to bed more peaceful, more calm. It doesn't mean that you have to be happy, joy, but take care of yourself that you'll be like more at ease with breath work, with meditations, journaling, affirmations, dancing, to just lower every stress that's in your body and raise your frequency a bit, and being aware that I choose to go to sleep and I only allow divine beings, divine interventions, angels, whatever you believe in, whatever you're working with. And that will help you, because if you go angry to bed straight ahead, then you might invite some negative energies in your room.
Yeah. And one of the things I also always tell my clients is like, when you go at night to sleep, like also like clear your energetic. You're talking about like clear your energetic space. And you can do that through taking a shower and just having the intention, visualize that, okay, I'm clearing everything from the day, everything that's not mine, everything that's not serving me. Like just with the intention itself. Another thing I do, if I don't take a shower at night, I literally just like brush a little bit my body, like just brush my body and again, having the intention of clearing. And also I use like every single night when I go to sleep, I use Insight Timer. I don't know if you use Insight Timer. I love Insight Timer. And I put these like 1 hour, 2 hour different frequencies, like meditation for sleep. And some of them are manifestation, some of them are clearing, some of them are like connecting with my higher self, depends what it is. Yeah. And then I go to sleep into that state with that music, with those frequencies. And it helps me sleep so much better because I started using that when I was going through that challenging time with my partner with a cancer journey, where I couldn't sleep at night because of the worry and all of the thoughts. And I started using it at that moment. And now it's just, I started continuing using it for like over a year and a half, 2 years now.
Amazing.
It helps me go to sleep in a so much like higher state. And I know it works with my subconscious, even though I don't stay in like all this sense because I fall asleep, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's very lovely. I do have this little side note for people that are dealing with dissociation. I don't know if you've heard of the term dissociation, where you're not connected with your body. That's a coping mechanism that you haven't been felt safe, maybe during birth, during your childhood, maybe the teenage years. So if you're aligned with your body, if you're not fully incarnated in your body, you start using techniques like astral travel, plant medicine, those techniques what you've mentioned, they are very awesome. Everything is awesome and works, but there's every tool for somebody. So when you're like more dissociated with your body and you start losing connection with your body, then I wouldn't advise to go to those kind of frequencies and music at night. Because I saw that even in the beginning, but yes, still even now, if I put out this frequency, I really easy travel. I really easy, how do you say it? Flip out of my body and I really go to all kinds of realms. And it can be okay because you can clear up a lot of things. When you go astral travel, you can clear up a lot of stuff. So it's amazing. But you can also invite a lot of things in what you are not subconscious of. So depending on where you are in your journey. If you're solid in your body, I would recommend to do what you do and it's beautiful. But if you feel like you're dissociated with your body, you have a lot of brain fog maybe, you don't feel your body that well, you don't feel what it's telling you, and you feel like the world is a bit blurry all around you, then I wouldn't recommend to do that at night.
Awesome. Great. Thank you for letting them know. And of course, like each and every tip and tool we are sharing is for you to try and find what works for you. And what I noticed from my journey, something is going to work for a while, but then it needs to shift, it needs to change, you know? So it's going to, our tips and tools is going to shift and evolve the same with us. So that's another thing as well. So awesome. Should we move to step number 3?
Yeah. Awesome. So the next step is very tricky. Well, it's the void.
The void.
So, the void. Okay. So the void. In my opinion, the void consists out of two phases. The one is when suddenly everything falls into place. Like, picture yourself being in a storm picture yourself like being in a tornado or maybe a tsunami of emotions, of thoughts, of feelings, of everything, of energies. And then one day you wake up and everything is quiet and everything is silent. And you're going like, it stopped. I'm sane. I've made it. Like more of that of an analogy. So the first part of the void is for you to calm down. Everything will calm down. And you have time and you need to take that time to rest, to decompress, to recover. You will probably be doing a lot of sleeping, a lot of drinking, a lot of water. And you need to take your time out because you'll be processing everything that happened. You'll be questioning everything that happened, but in a good way, you have a like more calm mind and calm heart, and you'll be more at peace. You will have some roller coasters, little emotional things, but it will be peaceful. It will be quiet. And it's very enjoyable after that turbulent phase, which can take from months to years. So it's very welcoming to experience that first part of that stage. But there's a catch. When we're going through our voids, we've been so purging so everything that isn't ours, that everything that isn't serving us, everything that is basically toxic. So you've changed extremely and the outer world didn't change. So if you didn't belong before, if you had the feeling like you don't fit in before, now that gap is even bigger. So the disconnect with the reality around you can feel quite strong depending on the depth and intensity of your spiritual awakening. But you might experience a disconnect that you don't fit even more with your friends. That all the hobbies that you like to do, to have fun and to enjoy yourself, just don't have that much interest in you and you don't feel like doing them. And maybe even family, maybe they trigger you, maybe they're not, but you just don't understand them, they don't understand you. So it's a phase where you start becoming very lonely. And in time, because you've upgraded your frequency and you've changed so much, even though nothing changed around you, things will start to change around you. And you will start experience loss. People will start falling out of your life. Jobs will start falling out of your life. Maybe you lose finances, maybe you lose home. Everything can be lost. Because everything was built with the old you, with your old identity, with the old belief systems, with your old core wounds that you had inside you. And now you've been purging them. It doesn't match your frequency anymore. So it doesn't make sense and it doesn't have a space for you in your life to continue on. And if you have like a partner and they will evolve with you, they can go travel with you on the journey. But if the partner avoids the journey, resists it, fights it, or maybe it's not for him to wake up in this lifetime, then probably you will go separate ways. And it's also for jobs and situations. So that's the tricky part because the second part of the void is extremely lonely. All your wounds are exposed. You've been nurturing yourself and you've been healing yourself and you have all the peace and quiet around you to just decompress after the dark night of the soul. But now you have to look at all those wounds. I'm lonely. And what am I going to do? Why am I so lonely? Because I'm empty inside. Why am I empty inside? Because I filled myself up with people, things, habits, patterns, everything that didn't serve you. So now they are purged out and you're like hollow inside. And with people don't understand you, it can even feel even more lonely. So that was my experience with a lot of people that I encountered, that the loneliness phase, it's tricky because it's very tempting to go back to where you came from because you feel so lonely. Yeah, the old habits, the old patterns, the old people, even the toxic relationships, because they are not safe, but they are familiar for you. And therefore, they will feel safe and comfortable, even if they're painful. And it's choosing between the pain of being lonely and facing everything that wants to be seen. It's a completely different darkness. It's a quiet darkness. It's a subtle darkness. Choosing that or going back to the toxicity, old patterns and the pain of maybe abuse, of not being understood, of whatever was going on in your life before her. So yeah, that's a challenging phase therefore. So yeah, I don't know what's your experiences with the void.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think I'm just going through one right now. I am recovering and going through a heartbreak. And I see my old self it's so beautiful when you have the awareness, no? Because I see my old self, oh, but you don't really want to be lonely. You don't want to travel lonely. Like, you could have been with that person and travel with him and, you know, do all those things. And it's so much nicer to be in a couple. And I see, like, this old, you know, old ideas. And it's being able to stay with the pain, to know that it's temporary. That's so important to remember that. Know that it's temporary. And another thing, I'm looking at it as an up leveling. For me, it's like I'm up leveling right now because I am releasing and I'm letting go of my old identity, of my old self, of how I used to make choices in the past, my old patterns. So it's like so conscious how I'm like, I'm choosing to let go of that, and I'm choosing not to settle.
So, yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's finding the new ways and new tools to deal with it and empower myself. I would say this is the stage I'm at, like empowering myself. Because yesterday literally I was grieving. So I'm like, oh my God, like grieving. And today I did a shamanic breath work.
Yeah.
It was so powerful. It's so empowering. And I'm like, okay, I need to like shift some of the things also within my spiritual practice because I need different things. I need more like powerful things in this moment because I am at a different level. So it's like finding those ways to deal with it instead of choosing the old, the familiar and of not being able to hold the pain.
Yeah. And I think that the tricky part is because the voice can be a very long stage and you will be balancing between feeling blissful. There are also the bliss stages in here.
Yes.
You will be feeling blissful. You feel like you'll be freed from the toxicity, from everything, like the whole world was put down and you're like free and you're lighter. So there will be a lot of bliss stages and you will be like excited for, okay, what's next and what can I do and what can I experience and what kind of people can I meet? So there will be this fantastic places in the voice stage that you will have those. Mm-hmm. But because the voice stage can be a long period of time where you're going through it alone, and also depending again for each stage on the intensity on your journey, you can be stripped completely solo. Or maybe just lose some of the people. But the cases I've worked with and the people I know that accomplish the most are dealing with the most extreme void you can ever imagine because they lost everything. Mm. And so not even friends, not even family, not even partner, not even pets, nothing. And if death takes a long time, there comes a point that you no longer want to go back because you feel everything in your body, just the thought alone. You feel that you're out of alignment. So that's a good thing. So it keeps you in track. But to keep on going, it can be challenging to keep the focus on how long this is going to take. What do I have to do? And it's no longer about not being good enough because you know at this time, you know what you're worth. You know what you deserve. You know what your desires are. And they will evolve over time and it's all good. But because it takes such a long time and it takes a different toll on you, it can be quite challenging to not fall into, okay, I give up. Maybe you don't go back, but I give up. And I'm just gonna not settle, but just gonna allow it to happen. But giving up is different than surrender.
Okay.
If you surrender to the situation and you allow it to flow and you deal with your emotions and you don't judge yourself for feeling, grieving, for not figuring it out, maybe you're not supposed to figure it out. It will be clear when it's supposed to be clear. So if you're gentle with yourself and you're just going with the flow and don't care how long it takes, that's more like a surrender, more like a gentle flow. And you are trying to make it happen and trying to force everything because it's been so long and you're like, okay, I'm not lonely anymore, but I do like some people in my life and I would like a new home, I would like a new job. Then that's more like a forcing. And then when you're forcing, you will encounter a block and a resistance and therefore you will give up. So those are like different energies.
two different energies.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very powerful. Thank you for pointing it out, because you definitely do not want to give up no matter where you're at.
Never give up.
Yeah, like my whole mantra this whole year has been, I trust and surrender. I trust and surrender. And I literally went to see a shaman on Saturday on 11-11 at 11 a.m. And it was insane.
I love it. And
one of the messages I got, it was like, you have to trust and surrender. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, telling me the mantra I'm telling myself the whole year.
Yeah. Oh, it's so amazing.
Yeah. Wow. So we have the void that we've been, but as you guys heard, it's don't give up. That's a very important thing.
Keep going.
Pass by. It's temporary. This is something I'm constantly reminding myself. Especially when I go through something painful, it's like, it's temporary. Everything is temporary. This shall pass as well. So what is the fourth and the last step that we have?
The fourth step. The fourth step I would call the return to the world. Yeah, your reintegration back into the world. And it doesn't have to be like a big bang coming into the world, here I am. But it will be like the whole new you, because we've been in isolation for so long. The void is an isolating period. You'll be alone quite some time. So I want to take a little step back. The void, at the end stage of the void, you have the opportunity to reinvent yourself. Not only your spiritual tools, like you mentioned. So you have like some tools and props and practices you do, and then you switch it off, you upgrade them so you can function better because you're further on your journey, or your frequency is higher, or your body is changing. So you will need to keep them up and adjusting them. But I think that the most important is that you start focusing on what brings you joy, because we can think about, it's exciting what's coming, and those people will come, and the job will come, and the opportunity will come, and I have to trust and surrender. But if you've been there that long, it can be quite challenging, and it becomes like more like a mental energy only, and not like embodiment of the feeling, I trust and surrender, and I really feel it in my bones that I'll be okay. So what helped me, and a lot of people helped, is following your satisfaction, following what excites you in just like tiny baby steps. It doesn't have to be big things, but every moment get present and follow the thing that you know that will serve you best at this moment. And sometimes it can be, I make myself a cup of tea and I read a book and I feel peaceful, and that will shift a bit. And sometimes there are bigger things like, I really need to go. I really need to move. I really need to go on a holiday that excites me. I need some new inspiration, not because I'm escaping a situation, because I feel called to, because it fires me up. It lights me up from the inside. So every time you get in that point of the end stage of the void, and you feel like, I'm trusting and surrendering, but I'm not really believing it, try to follow the enthusiasm. Try to follow what sparks in you that excitement, and follow the satisfaction of doing things that brings you joy every single moment of the day. And that will give you like more stepping stones from which the path will be more revealed. Maybe a job, maybe a career, maybe like a community. And from there, we'll be entering the fourth stage, the return.
The return.
So that, and that's the phase when you know who you are most of the time. And we're not perfect. It's a lifelong journey, but then you know what you are, you know what you're worth, you know what you deserve, and you won't settle for anything. But you've been doing the work, not only the shadow work, the inner work, what you're talking about with the shaman or breath work or whatever, but also the building up stage, because you've been acting out so much in purging by the dark night of the soul and in the void by losing everything that doesn't connect with you anymore. But you have to fill yourself up again, but from the inside out. And the only way you can fill yourself up from the inside out is if you start nourishing yourself, not only with food, but also with inspiration, with things that light you up from the inside. And if you start filling yourself up, that's when you start returning into the world, because you're more like a solid person, more in alignment with what you think, what you feel, how you treat your body. You know what you need, and you know what you expect from the world. And you're also solid with other peoples around you that are not awakened, that are still in their patterns and in the matrix and whatever. You'll be able to deal with them and don't feel sad or hurt or isolated. So I think the return phase is actually basically the starting point of you being solid, you being aligned, your body, mind and soul. You being aligned with your energy, masculine, feminine, knowing that you've done the work, not only emptying out, but filling your cup from the inside out. So let's say like a two-way process. And when you've filled up, then you can re-enter the world. And from there, you start building. So before you are reinventing yourself and have to figure out what are my flavors, what do I like, what do I need, who am I? And now you know who you are and you start rebuilding it. Okay, then I'm going to after that job, or I'm going to start a career, or I'm going to become a coach and help people to move through the same thing. Or I'm going to move cities. And you're going to start build your own new life. And that can take as long as you want.
Oh, wow. This was so amazing. I love the way you explained it. I love all the steps. So as a recap for the steps, we have the breaking point, which are like the three main breaking points under going listen from the beginning. Then we have the dark night of the soul or of the ego. You can call it either way. The third step is the void. And the last one is the return. Oh, I love it. This was so amazing, so inspirational and so insightful. I'm 100% sure it's going to help so many people understand their journey so much better, because I know it helps even like me right now, like hearing all these insights and all these new things. And they're like, oh, that's what I'm at right now. Amazing. Yeah. And Leona, tell us what are you working on right now that you are excited about? Like what projects, what's going on in your life that you're working on?
Yeah, thank you for that. So for now, I'm going to release a three-part video series for help people in the first stage to embrace themselves, embrace the uniqueness, and especially for people who don't feel like they fit in. Like they don't feel seen, they don't feel understood, they have to translate their soul to everyone. They have to defend themselves. They can't find a way home, literally in people and spaces, but also in themselves. So I will guide them through that. And I will be making a program that will be based on the void stage from the spiritual awakening to translate it into the more common world, because the void is in transition phase. And you can translate it into the biggest transitions that you go in life, even though you don't have your spiritual awakening. How to go from your old identity, where you don't belong when you have grown, to the new one that you would desire. Where is your desired reality, desired outcome? And it's not about manifesting, but it's about who you become, who you have to shed, how you deal with the situation, and how to move on a daily basis. Very practical to the reality that you would like to embrace. So that's what I'm currently working on, to be hopefully help some souls, nudge them the right way, and help them to live a more solid life, because that's more my mission. Not only to help them navigate this journey, but help them to align the body, mind, and soul so that can live from their heart and not only from the mind and from the external reality and start living from the inside out.
Yeah. And it's such a different world when you're able from inside out live an aligned life with your soul mission here, and you're doing something so important for the world. And I'm so grateful for you and for having you on. It was such a beautiful and insightful conversation. Thank you so much. We will add, guys, the links in the show notes below so you can find Leona. If you're still here with us, make sure you go here up and go and follow Leona for more tips and tricks on spiritual awakening, and to follow her for what is coming next. And make sure you're going to go and follow me for upcoming episodes on spiritual change makers. Thank you so much for coming on, for your beautiful time and wisdom, for sharing everything you have shared with us. I appreciate it so much. And thank you
for a second time.
Thank you. And thank you to each and every one of you for listening, for either live or replay. We really appreciate you popping on and investing in yourself, because this is an investment you are doing in yourself by listening to this kind of insights and wisdom.
Yeah.
I would say. Thank you. I wish you a beautiful rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again, Andrea.
Thank you. I love you, I appreciate you, and I believe in you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Spiritual Changemakers Podcast. To stay connected and help us reach more people like you, please subscribe, follow, and leave a comment. Join our community of spiritual changemakers on social media to connect with like-minded individuals and continue the conversation. Remember, the power to create positive change is within you. Keep showing up as your best self, and let's keep the magic of change alive. Until next time.